We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where this case takes place, the Yinaiwan and Dungari people. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Whoop, mother fluffers, I'm Jimmy.
And I am Alice.
And this is Signal 2.
And in case you're wondering, this is a podcast about Australian true crime.
Yes.
I know it's been a while.
Has it?
I know season 2 has taken a long while to come back out.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it seasons because then it's excusable from why we have been gone.
Have we been gone?
10,000, 2,500, 600 minutes.
Pretty sure just Spotify that doesn't, or iTunes, it's just, there's no gap. It's just like, oh, episode whatever we're up to.
Whoop, whoop, here we are.
Whoop, whoop. In the annals of history, who will give a shit?
Nobody. But sorry, yes. Guys, I just whacked our printer with my foot, so I'm not sure what that, like, bang was.
It was not a killer. We're not kicking a killer under the desk. But, no, welcome, welcome. We are back. You're welcome. And because, yeah, we have finally got around. I'll say finally. This has been, like, our fourth or fifth attempt at trying to record. It has been
James got
a
so
journey.
Drunk. It was 100% just James.
And it was just because of the Inner West. It's not because of me. I can't be held responsible for the expectations that get placed on you when you live in such a vibrant community.
That's true. And it in Western Sydney, it's like a Bundy and Coke. Here it's like a beautiful gin cocktail or I don't like sweet cocktails, but I love like a bougie good.
Mm. Like, and it's also just like a 15-minute Uber, 10-minute Uber to anywhere. Good. So we're just like, oh, great. Not like $120 Uber, finding somebody to dog sit the bloody fur baby and all of that. And it's just like, oh, yeah, sweet. We'll go do it.
It's fun, the bar.
That has been my life. But you were completely sober in amongst all of that, weren't you? You know, these four or five takes, it was
sober.
Just me being
100%
just drunk as anything. And
just
you were just... Do you want to tell our audience the truth? Do you have something you wanted to say?
I was basically like a drunken white girl at a bar telling you a story that you don't give a shit about and going on a billion tangents.
Yeah.
So
slurring your words. But like, I was all for it. I was like, yeah, this is great until I was like,
At the time
when
phenomenal.
You're there. But then, you know, when you're talking to that drunk person and all of a sudden something switches and you're just like, no, I'm fucking sick of this shit. Like, what am I doing here? I got to that part.
Like, yeah, he'd get to it. He'd get like 1 hour in. He's like, no, fucking done. And scene, leaving.
I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Then like 10 minutes
later. So I just hear like deleting audio.
So this time we are nowhere near that. I mean, I hope it's obvious. We are having a celebratory vino. We are, you know, we are human. We are Jimmy and Alice. We are going to drink.
James, why are we celebrating?
We're celebrating my achievement for staying with you
for 2 years.
I knew something like that was about to happen. But yeah, we're recording on our 2 year anniversary and we were like,
yay,
oh,
whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Do we go out? Do we go to a restaurant? Cafe? Do we go to a restaurant? Do we even like, nah, let's just crack open one of our good bottles of wine. And
get out the nice glasses.
Get out the nice glasses and record because this is our thing and this is what we love doing. And fingers crossed. It's good to be back. But it has been a moment. It has been a hot minute. A lot of things happening. As we said, we have moved in west. We'll get to that in a minute. Akilah.
Boopa is okay, everybody.
Yeah.
You can take a deep breath. He has a medical condition that has never been documented in German Shepherds before, of course. They're writing a scientific paper about him because science.
And he loves it, being the centre of attention.
Yeah. So, actually, this whole thing that happened with him, Sash, the emergency hospital, is opening up a new location in – it's in Western Sydney in – can't remember. And they invited us as a special guest because – Akilah. I'm demanding a wing. But anyway. But no, he's fine. He'll be on medication for the rest of his life. But non-life-threatening, doesn't affect his lifespan.
Just got really fat.
Just got Fatty Von Gruff Gruff.
Fatty Von Gruff Gruff is his new nickname. Fatty Von Gruff Gruff. Are you Fatty Von Gruff Gruff?
Normally,
his ears are going up now being like, have you got food?
Anyone who knows me knows I hate a fat dog. But he was on these steroids, which made him, for a dog that didn't really care about food, made him insatiably hungry to the point that he wouldn't settle at night and go to sleep.
No.
He needed extra food. And for that time, while we were having to deal with the medical condition, plus we moved to the inner west, I was like, look, I can get rid of this later. Plus we couldn't walk him, firstly, for fear of nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Plus he had that fucking resistant staphylococcus and we didn't want to risk it getting given to another dog and then they have problems. So, like, it was just – he's losing some weight now because we're reducing the steroids.
He's looking good, buddy. You're now not so fatty Von Gruff Gruff.
Yeah, like medium weight Von Gruff Gruff.
Yeah. He's a bit sleepy Von Gruff Gruff right now because he's
finally.
No, finally. He's been a bit of an arsehole today, but he's your dog. Yeah. But to be expected. So yeah, no, he's doing all right. He's doing all right. We are living we are loving our living. In the meantime, it feels like so long ago, but
I was able to go to 2017.
Our springs for 10 days. So that was a really good, I got that opportunity through work and I know people say, oh, it's life changing. It wasn't life changing because I hate when people say that and I'm like, oh, just refuse to use it. But, like, it was pretty momentous. And we took a group of 16, 17-year-old students up and, for them it was life changing. And that's the main thing. Yeah. And the whole idea was we're going to go up, we're going to visit communities up there, we're going to visit a school.
Did you specify Indigenous communities? I don't think you did.
Indigenous communities, sorry, yeah. So basically we can get very affluent. I always get Kath and Kim where I'm like, very affluent, Kim.
Affluent. I think it's affluent is rich.
Yeah. Do you not know the Kath and Kim where she...
Yeah, of course I do.
Oh, okay. No, but where she just talks about... Okay, well...
I think, yeah, kind...
Of course you do. Oh, hang on. Oh, you don't, do you? She gets confused between the two. But anyway, yeah, affluent. Boys who like from Sydney who will never have the opportunity whilst in Sydney to see, you know, conditions and communities, Indigenous communities in your own country, that they're actually like that and build those connections, and then they can go and spread the word and get the message out there amongst the themselves. They're the future. They're what's going to drive change. And so, yeah, it was a really amazing experience. I'm really fortunate I was able to make really good connections up there, which I still message a couple of people who are up there and really look forward to going back. And I know we've spoken about going back together. That's going really well. Inner West life, we're living it. We're loving it.
Living.
Just going out to the pub last weekend, we took my family, we all went to the AFL to watch the Swannies. It was like the last home game at the SCG. It was like 45,000.
Biggest home ground game. I'm really struggling with that.
No, it's a tough
home ground game in like a significant period of time. Oh, ever?
I don't know if it was ever or at least for like... Anyway, 30 or 40 years, but yeah, it was massive.
The vibe was on point.
Oh, it was so good. And it was hilarious because my mum, like my whole family, we get to be like happy drunks.
They're like
very loud drunks.
Yeah, they're loud, but they are like joyous drunks.
How dare you?
Yeah, they're like not a punish to be around. They're just
taking the piss. And oh my goodness. Like,
we made friends with the people in the seats next to us.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
Yeah.
They loved my moustache. It's always a good talking point.
It's always a conversation starter.
It is. It's looking very good at the moment, and I've got book week on Thursday, so I'm trying to think of a character. So if anybody has any ideas, please let me know. This episode should go out before then. We'll see. My mum, fine form, love it. Love to see her having as much
fun. Your mum's
the best. She is. And then my nephew, who's like 24, something like that.
I'm glad you clarified age, because it meant to be some like 10-year-old getting pissed.
Exactly. Who is like, Rajan, can you just hold my beer? And she goes, oh, yeah, sure. She then just sculled it. And it, because he was like putting his jacket on or something. So he briefly turned around to put his jacket on. Did say, mum just like quickly sculled it. And then like he went to go get it back. And she was like, there you go. It was like an empty glass. And I was like, fuck yeah, mum, get it.
Get it.
Love it. But so yeah, just that kind of enjoying life. Enjoying what life has to offer.
Living a good life and just... getting through it.
Doing our thing. But we are now going to get into talking about living. We're going to get
Australian crime.
Yeah. We're going to get talking about dying.
Did you say dying?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Australian true crime. What do you think happens in Signal 2 podcast? People don't live. If they lived, it would be boring. Do I sound particularly callous and heartless?
I feel like I'm like regular people would be like, ooh. For me, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like it's sad. Actually, I do feel bad because I know kind of the basics of this, and this is a this is a very sad story.
I get mad Catherine Knight vibes from her. Ooh. Just her personality.
Ooh.
Her personality gives me Catherine Knight vibes.
That's exciting.
Mm.
I'm keen.
Are you ready?
Am I ever?
No.
Yeah.
So today's case takes place in Walker, New South Wales, which is a small country town, mainly agricultural, between Sydney and Brisbane, in New South Wales. So it's in New South Wales.
Yeah, right.
Fun fact, there is 850,000 sheep, but just over 3,000 people.
Choice.
Mm. A lot of sheep to people ratio.
Mm. There's a joke in there somewhere.
There is.
We need Tom for that.
New Zealanders kick in.
Or Tom.
Fleecing jokes.
Mm. Oh, he would have, he'd be full
he'd
of them.
He'd be all over this. It's a really nice country town. Very affluent.
Affluent.
There's a lot of money in the town. It's a really nice, typical Australian heritage-listed country town.
Love it. So full of R.M. Williams, I imagine.
A lot of R.M. Williams, a lot of pearls. So it's 2 a.m. on the 2nd of August 2017, and Natasha Beth Darcy makes a call to 000 saying that her partner, Matthew Dunbar, has killed himself.
Oh.
So she's commencing CPR, waiting for ambulance officers to arrive. Soon after, because it is a small country town, so they come very quick, ambulance officers Colin Crossman and Marion Schapp rush to their property. Now, this property is called Pandora. Immediately, as the ambulance officers arrive, alarm bells start ringing.
Yeah.
And ringing is an understatement.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like you see in those movies where the bells go off in the square and all the pigeons kind of fly off.
Okay.
That's what I could get. That's what I imagine the ringing bells were like. It's like ding, ding, poof, everyone.
Like birds, pigeons.
Yeah. Poof. Yeah. Anyway, why were they ringing? Because 8 years earlier, Natasha Beth Darcy had tried to kill ambulance officer Colin Crossman.
No way. Hang on.
Right? What?
So hang on. Was Matthew Dunbar was her
Yeah, so Matthew Dunbar has, in inverted commas, killed himself.
Yes.
Ambulance officer Colin Crossman attends. Alarm bells because 8 years earlier she tried to kill him.
No way.
Now we're starting with a bang.
Holy shit.
Yes. So we're going to talk about young Miss Natasha Beth Darcy.
Okay, well, now I'm in. Intrigued.
So Natasha was born in 1976 and, by all accounts, grew up in a loving family. Family was blended as her mother had remarried.
Mm-hmm.
She was close with both her mother and stepfather.
Yeah.
Grew up on an acreage, loved horses.
Okay.
Yeah. Her parents valued hard work. She'd always had jobs, but from what I've read, she was known to be a liar.
Okay.
Over the top in both the information she shared and how she behaved.
Okay.
And she would make up elaborate lies that could quite obviously be disproven.
Okay.
Yeah. We got a long episode, so I'm not going to go into details about previous relationships and all that. But basically, once again, she's a liar. She just makes up stuff.
Oh, right.
To the point that at the end of this whole thing, the psychologists try to diagnose her. And because of all the lies, they can't get an actual diagnosis.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. Now, Colin Crossman, I can't find his date of birth.
Yeah.
And because it's overshadowed by Matthew Dunbar's murder normally.
Okay, yeah.
So he's around the age of Natasha, one of six kids, moved around a lot, predominantly from rural town to rural town.
Yeah.
He trained as a mechanic once he left school, and he fell in love not long after to a lovely woman named Catherine. They married.
Knight?
No. Catherine with a C.
okay, that's nice.
They married, but tragically not long after she died in a motor vehicle crash.
Oh, that's tragic.
Really sad. So he
would have been quite young. Like,
yeah, very.
Out of high school, uni, like beginning of uni age?
Yeah, like maybe early
20s. Early 20s. Oh, that's tragic.
So he decided to stay away from love for a little bit and sign up to become an ambulance officer in 2005.
Okay.
And 12 months in, he goes, I'm going to try love again.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so in 2005, he matches with Natasha Beth Darcy.
Oh.
He fell for her pretty quick. She had a bunch of kids. He loved kids, so he's wonderful to them. They moved together to a property in Walker, and as soon as they did, the demands began. $15,000 for horse floats, cash, extravagant gifts. She's pulling money out of their mortgage account.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And he's just like, this is things couples go through.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
She begins to tell lies to people around town about being a vet, doing research in vet science, being a dressage champion, none of those things.
I mean, she loves horses.
But she does, but like dressage is a very specific type of horse riding.
Right.
Yeah. She began sending flirtatious and sexual messages to some of the men around town.
Okay.
Being like, want to root? And stuff like that. Yeah. Or I can't wait for you to be in with me in fresh sheets and stuff like
that. Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gross.
And Colin knew about some of them, but not all of them.
What do you mean he knew about some of them?
He knew some of them. And once again, he's like, that's what couples go through. Oh, he's just a really nice guy.
Yeah.
A nice guy, but a little bit oblivious.
And do you reckon like those nice guys where they prefer the problems within a relationship? Like they prefer the issues, but still being in a relationship with someone to then not being.
Because he loves kids and he loved those kids.
Oh, so do you reckon he was only with her for the kids? Or?
I think he still loved her. Like, I think he wanted to be in a relationship with her, but like the kids were the draw card.
Yeah, but do you know there's also some people that just, they will put up with that as long as they're in a relationship until they, you know, until something obviously happens, and it sounds like it does. But like, because the idea of being single is so scary.
Maybe. I think he loved love.
Yeah, I know. But I'm also aware that the idea of being single is not something that you care about.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you're just like, nah, fuck it.
Valid point.
Because I've met quite a few people that are like that, yeah, where they'll put up with a lot of shit in a relationship because the idea of leaving and then being on their own is just too daunting a prospect. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm right, but. Possibly. Could be part of it. Plus, he loves her kids. And
I also feel like I failed to mention that she had kids from a previous marriage. Yeah. Sorry, that wasn't important.
Nah.
Yeah.
We know now.
Now, she wants to buy a property in Bendemeer, which is not too far from Walker. It's like within an hour's drive from Walker.
Right.
She doesn't tell him this.
Oh. Because is she taking money out of the mortgage?
Yeah, and she starts telling everyone that's what's happening. She makes inquiries to the point that she gets a quote from removalists of how much it would cost to move. And at this point in time, she's also telling everyone around town that her and Colin aren't together anymore.
Oh.
Colin didn't know this.
Oh.
Yeah. So she also...
is she cheating? Like, I know she's sending the flirtatious messages.
It's a small town, so a lot of people are like, no. No. Because she's normally sending them to marry men.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, geez. So what's her game plan there? Is she just wanting attention? Okay.
So she then gets out a life insurance plan for Colin for $700,000.
Oh, okay.
And a home and contents insurance for almost $500,000. Now, not abnormal if you're not inclined to murder. You know, got to look after your contents. You got stuff in there. Smart to have life insurance. You know, your partner needs that. But then again, I'm not inclined to murder people.
Yeah. And also, aren't you usually part of those discussions? Like, I'm getting insurance taken out on my life, shouldn't I usually know about that?
Not to mention, like, I'd walk around and be like, how much is this worth? How much is this worth? And we'd discover how much the contents should be insured for.
Yeah, we should probably do that, by the way.
We should do that. Don't burn down our
house. Add that to life admin task. Signal to more than just a podcast.
Yeah, helping you out every day. Anyway, so we have that, you know, about 1.3 maths. Whatever, 1.2. Over 1. Thank you kindly. $1.2 million of insurances.
On his death.
On his death.
When and the home all going in one thing. Yeah. So was she planning to blow him up?
Well, you will see.
Yeah.
So on the 16th of January 2009, she decides, I'm a bit romantic and make him some oysters Kilpatrick.
Yum.
Yeah, not. Mm. Mm. So he eats them and was like, not only do they taste bad, they taste acrid.
Oh, no.
That's not how oysters should take them.
No.
So he ends up spitting them down the toilet.
Yeah, fair. Do you mean throwing up?
No, I think he kind of like chewed on him. Not good.
Yeah.
So then she just starts having a conversation with him about where the best place would be to hit someone around the temple region in their head to kill them. Just random.
Romantic night conversation. Yeah. Was it their anniversary?
I don't know.
Sounds like a typical anniversary chat that we had earlier.
Where would I stab you?
anyway,
so.
No that, way. Yeah. What is she? Because I guess she's thinking, oh, well, I'm going to kill him anyway. So might as well find out what he knows.
Yeah. Might as well get some intel. So he's like, fucking weird, but like, whatever. I'm going to go to bed. See you later.
Did he tell her? Do we know?
No, because he's just kind of like,
what the hell are you talking about, woman?
You do you, boo. Oh, she shouldn't do her. So he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And wakes up screaming in pain.
Oh, no.
He's screaming in pain. It's pitch black and he hears something drop to the floor near his side of the bed.
Oh, no.
He then goes, Natasha, Natasha, what's happening? Turn the lights on, turn the lights on. He knows she's next to his bed and she can, like, hear him scrambling for something. And she's then like, oh my God, there's someone. I'm going to chase them outside. And she apparently, inverted commas, chases them outside.
Of course she did.
She doesn't find them because...
Of course not. Mm. No.
So they managed to, they call the police. Everyone comes over and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, I'm adamant it was a hammer. I'm fucking adamant it was a hammer got hit over the head with. Anyway, police do a bit of a search of the house, find out that his hammer is missing from his tool belt.
Because, like, a hammer would be such a very distinctive, like, I know you're sleeping, you know, in the middle of the night, it's dark, but it's such a distinctive shape and weight. I don't know.
What, especially because, like, it was dropped.
Yeah, actually, and that's a very distinctive sound, obviously depending, but, like, you not just, well, if it's on concrete, sure, that's what I'm thinking, I'm sorry, but if it's, like, carpet or floorboards, like, I don't know, I just feel like it's a very distinctive size and weight that, yeah, him saying, oh, it's a hammer, I can see that, I can see,
like,
why.
Oh, maybe it was a maglite, that was her.
Was that her thing?
Yeah.
Why was she... That's such a weird...
It's such an odd choice.
It's such an odd choice. Like, why would you put forth anything? If you
were
like,
oh, I got
hit by this.
I was like, oh, a hammer could have been a crowbar. Like, that would be my second go-to.
But why are you arguing it?
Yeah, I know.
Like, if you got hit in the middle of the night and you were like, oh, pretty... It felt like it was a hammer. I wouldn't be like, you sure a hammer? Not like a magnite? Crowbar?
Yeah, I'd be like,
shit,
that's bad.
Like, you'd just be like, shit, are you okay?
That's
like,
epic.
You want to make...
Is epic the wrong word?
If I got smacked in the head with a hammer... In the middle of the night, but somebody trying to kill me, you'd be like,
"I use the word epic."
That's epic, Brad.
Hectic, cuz. Anyway, so like, Ambo's and police arrive.
Yeah.
Now, one of the Ambo guys that arrives is actually one of Colin's really good friends at the station.
Okay.
We like
good.
Him.
Okay, we like him.
We like
good
him.
Good Ambo.
Yeah.
Does he have a name?
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Good Ambo.
Good Ambo friend. Yeah.
Gaff.
Yeah.
Gaff.
We'll call him Gaff. All right. Gaff is a champion. So anyway, he's in hospital, but they clear him pretty quickly. He's all good in the hood. Now, a few days later, Natasha's like, oh, my anxiety's out of control. I have to go to hospital and get some Xanax.
Or Valium?
Or Valium. Yeah, it was Valium.
Valium.
I'm confused too. She went and got some Valium. So she got a whole bunch of that.
Right.
And the Ambo mate, just when Colin's back at the gaff, when he's back at work, he's like, do you reckon Natasha's trying to kill you? And he's like, yes.
What? It must have been pretty obvious because she would have been. She sounds like she was acting so sus. Obviously, if you're Colin, you're like, well, I just ate poisoned oysters, and then she asked me where she wanted to smack me in the head, and then I got smacked in the head, and then everything else that happened. What in, like, of course he knows.
Yeah, yeah. He even said he had this vivid dream one night about being suffocated by a pillow.
Oh, my goodness. It wasn't
and he said
a dream.
He woke up
Colin.
And it was just, Natasha was just staring at him.
Oh,
and she
creepy.
Was staring at him. They didn't say anything and went back to sleep.
Oh, no.
So creepy.
So creepy. Oh, Colin, come on, man. Sometimes being single is not that bad. Mm.
So it's the 16th of January still. So he gets cleared the same day for his little hammer attack.
Okay, good.
It was in the wee hours. It was in the 15th wee hours, the 16th.
Yeah, right.
So go for dinner at the neighbor's.
Right.
Or for drinks at the neighbor's. And they're having a good time. And Natasha goes, honey, love, I'm going to leave early and make you a delicious dinner.
Don't eat it, Colin. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
Run,
so
boy.
And he's like, delightful. I'll have one more beer and I'll meet you over there.
Yeah.
He gets home and she's super duper chipper. And she's like, honey, you have a bourbon. I'll have some vodka. Now, that was problematic for the simple fact that she had previously said she'd suffered like a very, very serious trauma. And the people who like committed it were drinking bourbon.
Oh.
So he was not allowed to touch bourbon.
Oh.
Yes. So he's like, huh, weird. Like, because he's like, that's odd, but like she suggested it, so she must be okay with it.
Yeah. But do you think, like, because you mentioned earlier her propensity for lying and for attention seeking?
This story is one thing I wanted to go into more detail about, but I don't want to because it can sound a little bit victim blaming just in case it is true. But her story about this incident does significantly change.
Oh, okay.
And I'm talking two very different versions.
Okay. But
two separate people.
So all of a sudden, he couldn't drink
bourbon. So it happened before they met.
So she met him was like, don't drink bourbon. Because of that, which is, but now.
She's like, but God, I'm chipper, let's have a bourbon. And he's like, weird, but all right. Talking
like maybe Valium and alcohol if she was drinking, like maybe that was like a mood changer. I don't know, but still, anytime now that Natasha Beth Darcy is offering me a drink or something to eat, I am saying no thank
Never
you.
Never eat it.
No thank you.
So she makes 4 tacos. And we're not talking delicious Mexican tacos. We're talking the even more delicious Australian tacos.
Oh, my God.
Which is like minced meat.
Yeah, boy.
Like
avocado.
Avocado, get cheese. Get some iceberg in there. Iceberg lettuce. Yeah. Bit of sour cream, straight
old
up.
El Paso.
Yes. We are shitting on Mexican culture, but it's delicious.
And what is it? The white stuff?
Sour cream.
Oh, sour cream. Oh, yeah.
You've got to have excessive sour cream.
Like dairy farmer sour cream. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, so he smashes them. I'm
bloody hungry.
Yeah, he smashes them. They're delicious.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't remember a single thing after smashing those 4 tacos.
No, because now I'm sounding like I'm victim blaming. I'm not saying, oh, no, Colin, like, what have you? Mr. Hart, what a mess. It's more just like, poor thing.
Yeah, it's like
oh, jeez.
Yeah.
But also, holy shit, Natasha, like, this has been a week after she tried to smack him out of the head. Is that what you said?
No, it was the same day.
It was the same day. No.
So it happened in the wee hours of the 15/16, and this is now the evening of the 16th. And
I just love, though, he just got smacked over the head, spent the night in hospital because he got hit over the head with a hammer, and then, like, later that day he's like, oh, you're going to have a beer with
mate. A few beers, smash some tacos.
Smash some bourbon and tacos. Yeah. Loving it.
Australia.
Oh.
So then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, fire. The house is on fire.
Oh, okay. So not an explosion.
No, the house is just on fire. She apparently sees flames creeping up the wall on his side of the bed. Apparently she's like, shakes him. It's like, Colin, wake up. But it was probably like, Colin, wake up.
It was very ASMR of her.
So she runs out of the house, grabs the kid, runs out of the house. At no stage checks that Colin's behind her.
Okay.
No stage. Runs to the neighbor's house, still not confirming Colin's behind her, and goes and tells them. The neighbor's like, where the fuck is Colin?
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck's Colin? So the neighbor goes over to the house.
Yeah.
And the neighbor sees Colin at the back door, swaying, clearly delirious with the house phone in his hands. And all he's like is like, where are the kids? Where are the kids? Where are the
Colin,
kids?
You sweet natured man.
Yeah. The neighbors then take him to their house so that he can sit down. Because at this point, he's obviously very, very under the influence of something and he is vomiting.
Okay.
Now, Natasha stays at the house waiting for emergency services. And she's all like, oh, my God, my house. Oh, my God, I'm covered in petrol. Did you guys see the petrol? Petrol, 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 petrol.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So she's talking about that.
How did she not catch on fire if she's covered in petrol? What?
Probably because she put petrol on herself and then ran out.
No, that's what I mean. How didn't she catch on fire? Like if she's running through a burning building.
Actually, you know what? I did not think of that.
Yeah. If she's like.
Damn it, she should have.
Oh, my goodness.
So the ambos arrive and the fireys arrive at the same time.
Yes.
Gaff is one of those ambos.
Oh, okay, yeah. And I imagine it's a small town. There's only a few. And he's obviously on shift, on duty.
So the ambos arrived and Gaff runs up to Natasha and he's like, what the fuck have you done to Colin? What the fuck have you done? Where is he? Is he safe? Is he dead? What have you done?
No way. Yeah.
So finally he managed to find Colin at the neighbor's house and he's like, he seemed high. And the reason that's so strange is he was the kind of person that wouldn't even take a Nurofen for a headache.
Yeah.
So he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So he takes Colin to hospital and he says to the nurses, I demand toxicology.
Good.
You must take toxicology. Like, good kid. We love Gaff.
We love Gaff. Mm. Yeah, good
now,
guy, Gaff.
Toxicology comes back. There's a bunch of drugs ending in Azalam. So there's like Alprazolam, which is one of the main ingredients in Valium.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also one called Midazolam.
Oh.
Which is one that draws a lot of attention. Midazolam is often used by ambulance officers because it
is there a Midazolam? Because what? You get bedazzled? I don't know. We're just watching RuPaul.
It's Midazolam. M for Mary.
Okay. That joke just fucking sunk like a lead balloon. But anyway. Bedazzle? You not know bedazzle? Like the jewels?
Yeah, I did not. I don't know.
No, I just went bedazzle. Is there?
It's because I was like, oh my God, he had these drugs, and you're like bedazzled.
Because you're saying all these bedazzle lambs.
Yeah,
bedazzle lambs. I'm just like bedazzled. We've just been watching RuPaul's. So I'm just imagining a whole bunch of like like, I don't know, some drag queen coming up and be like, hey! Yeah.
Bedazzle him!
Anyway.
So bedazzle him, used by ambulance officers because it sedates and makes you lose your memory.
Oh, okay, right.
So, yeah, it's one of those drugs so you don't remember how fucked up you are.
Yeah, okay. Basically. Well, that's
So, like, how would she get midazolam?
But he is an ambo.
And when he's on call,
does he carry
the ambulance is parked at her house.
Oh, no way. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
So, Colin recovers with family on the Central Coast. Natasha floats around between people's houses.
Yep.
Gaff goes to feed their animals because he's a nice guy. So, he goes to feed the chickens.
Where is she staying?
Like, with different people. She kind of had – she lies about the whole thing. She was here. She was there. She wasn't like –
is this because at this point Colin's like, she bad. She got the bad touch. I got
to
stay away.
And I think all the family were like, he needs to recover. Like, he's dealing with smoke inhalation. Yes. He's dealing with all this kind of stuff. We're just going to keep him with family.
Fair.
So, Gaff's over there feeding the animals.
Yeah.
He goes to where the cat's food is kept in this sort of like box out the back.
Mm.
And what does he find?
A hammer.
Couple of jars of midazolam.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So it was the cats all along?
Yeah. Cats, untrustworthy.
Terrible movie.
Terrible. What?
Dame Judi Dench, what were you thinking?
The play is terrible also.
Oh, is it?
That it's based on.
I've never seen it. Never seen either.
Mm. Anyway. Always.
But so the cats.
Mm. So right. The cats did it, obviously.
That's why. Well, what do you think? Doggo von Gruffgruff? Was it the cats?
Ruff, ruff.
Anyway.
So anyway, the midazolam's found on the property. So Natasha, they're all like, we're going to probably interview. We're going to interview you.
Yep.
Anyway, she tells a bunch of porcupines. She's actually released without charge while they investigate further.
Okay.
During this time, she checks into the Portobello Motel in Tamworth.
Okay.
And here she just does Natasha things.
All right.
They find her passed out outside the manager's lodgings, and she's claiming someone broke into her hotel room there, injected her with an unknown substance, and then just left.
Okay, as they know.
Mm. Yeah. As they do, whatever.
You know, you live your life.
You live your best life. So police then are still doing their investigation and they confiscate all her electronics.
Okay.
Phones and all that stuff.
Oh, like just for evidence or something like that.
Yeah, because they know something's happening and they're like, well, can we find some evidence here?
Because you said this was 2005 that they met?
Yes. So this is 2007, I want to say.
2007, right.
2009.
2009, okay,
Yeah.
Because they met in 2005, so this is all happening in 2009. So, like, forensics and technology and all that is all a thing.
Especially for downloading phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they can do all that now.
Exactly. Now, we're going to learn throughout these next couple of episodes, Natasha loves a Google search. Loves an incriminating Google search.
Yeah.
So she Google searches ecstasy, heroin, poisons, poison that kill, how mortgage insurance works, chlorine ingested, arsenic and death, hydrochloride and Cadbury chocolate.
What? Why is Cadbury involved?
Oh, good question. Good question.
Like, I only heard every second word you said there, but it all sounded like bad juju.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden you're like, Cadbury chocolate. I was like, oh, yes, please.
Mm. Well, I can't. No. So she kept talking about these Cadbury chocolate almonds that he'd eaten. Kind of looked a bit funny. Had a bit of white stuff on the outside.
Bitch, do not fucking touch.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Cadbury chocolate coated almonds. They are the best.
Yeah.
Like, so Christmas is not complete without them.
Chocolate covered peanuts. Anyway, no, we're not going to go into
same thing.
Kate, agree with me.
Okay. This mythical Kate.
This mythical Kate.
Whoever you are out there, Kate. No, we know who you are.
So she's spreading this story about Cadbury chocolate almonds, something about Cadbury chocolate almonds. Anyway, they find in the box that was in her house, essentially a letter that said, we employees want to be paid more or we'll start poisoning Cadbury chocolate almonds.
You're kidding me.
And to the point
she's framing Cadbury.
But she also sent that letter to Cadbury HQ in Melbourne, so Cadbury stopped making chocolate covered almonds.
What? Yeah. No. Imagine if like that was like your addiction.
Yeah.
And like, you couldn't get your fix of Cadbury chocolate-coated almonds because
of Natasha Beth Darcy.
Natasha Beth Darcy trying to frame a company for her husband's attempted murder.
A Cadbury company.
A Cadbury company. Well, yeah, Cadbury is the company.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, a company, let alone Cadbury.
She tried to imply also that maybe Cadbury hired a hitman.
What for? What's Colin done to Cadbury?
Like,
what is he supposed to have done?
Because like the Cadbury chocolates were poisoned or something and like Colin knew too much.
How did Colin know this? Does anybody
Colin
ask?
Colin doesn't know it. He just ate them.
Has anybody asked Colin? Hey, what's with this Cadbury conspiracy? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of alliteration here with the C's, by the way. But like, has anybody asked Colin about the Cadbury conspiracy? And he'd be like, nah.
He's like, no, just delicious.
She's really stupid, eh?
Well, then they also found draft letters to Cadbury on her computer.
Oh, goodness. And gracious.
A ripped up draft letter in the glove box of her car.
Oh, no. Well, no. I mean, look, you can't even get points for trying.
Like, she didn't try. And she doesn't learn from this lesson. I'm just going to let you know that in advance.
Well, that's probably a good thing because she's an idiot. But she sounds like she's a dangerous idiot.
Oh, she's a dangerous idiot, 100%.
Oh, goodness. I don't understand. Why Cadbury? Why? Why chocolate coated almonds? It doesn't make sense.
Natasha Bestalsi doesn't make sense. So anyway, she is eventually charged with attempted murder.
Disgusted. Okay.
Common assault with a hammer attack.
Yes.
Giving false information about a person being in danger. Cadbury incident.
Oh, okay.
And public mischief for the hotel incident. Because it was just a lie. So the trial begins in November 2011 and everybody's ready for the long haul. Like this is going to be a trial and a half. We're ready.
Yeah.
The prosecutor speaks to the defense and the prosecutor agrees to take a plea to destroy property by fire. That's it.
What?
That's it.
What?
That's it.
What?
Huh? Yep.
What?
But in order to get this plea, she signs what's called agreed facts, which outlines everything, including everything that I've just told you. So although she gets the plea for destroy property by fire, she signs facts that says that she basically tried to kill Colin Crossman and fucked up Cadbury chocolate covered almonds.
What?
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that? Has anybody gone and knocked on like...
I would say
who
that
Who was it? The public prosecutor, did you say? Or whoever?
Yeah.
Who makes this?
It's probably one of those things where the prosecutor's gone, this is a very circumstantial case. There's a big chance we could lose. Let's just take what we can.
But there's also a really big chance you could win.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot here.
Is this just some guy trying to protect his, like, paddy stats? Like, he doesn't want to take an L?
Yeah, probably. Probably, douchebag. Like, the risk-reward thingamajiggy.
And, like, to get to the top, I don't know, I'm just getting all of my information from Suits and every other, like, law show where it's
a good,
like,
place to get it. That is.
Up and coming.
American law shows are definitely the way to get your law information.
It's just like, they can't. It's like boxing. It's just like... You know, you've got to pad your stats. You got to fight the bums. So you'd be like, yeah, I'm like 17-0 or like I'm 58-0. And it's like, I'm undefeated. And it's like, yeah, but you're also shit because you haven't versed anybody. But like, it's a bit like that where he's technically got to win.
Yeah, because it still
justice
says,
hasn't been served.
Yeah, because if you get a loss, there's like a whole process of like all this stuff.
I'm sorry that we have to make our lawyers do work. Yeah. The audacity of the justice system. No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, she's on bail.
And by the way, that was purely speculative. Like, they're probably, what you were saying is probably right. Yeah. I was pretty, in all seriousness, like, I don't know. I'm just speculating. Could be irresponsible of me to do that. So,
and we aren't prone to embellishment.
And we, no, God, no, us. No. So yeah, but for whatever reason, she basically gets away with attempted murder.
Exactly. She does get away with attempted murder.
Whose fault that is.
So she's on bail awaiting trial.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know why you'd put her on bail, but technically speaking, she's on bail because all she's being charged with is plea to destroy property.
Yeah, but I was saying, what else would you do? Not put her on bail?
Well, yeah, because if she was in for the attempted murder,
yeah,
then 100%, you could bail refuser until
But like at the moment,
it's just a plea to destroy property. Like
that's right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So she's out on bail, and you can't really fight that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So during that, she steals a credit card from a very big lady in the horse community, impersonates her at the bank, and tries to withdraw $6,000. Yeah. Needless to say, she is caught because CCTV is a thing.
Yep.
And she's charged with theft.
Wow.
Now, for all of the charges, she gets 2 years and 11 months, and only serves 18 of those.
18 months?
Yep.
Okay.
That is it.
I mean, at least it's something, but good. Like, I guess because considering she was going to get off on bail and then probably not serve any time, at least she got something.
Something's better than nothing, I guess. But
goodness gracious. But I bet she's the type of woman to go to. Woman? I bet she's the type of person who just happens to be a woman in this case, but I bet she's the type of person that would go to jail and then just be like, oh, yeah, I learned all these great new things, so I'm now going to come out an even worse criminal. You know what I mean? Like,
she doesn't come out an even worse criminal. She comes out as stupid as she went in, but...
Yeah, but, like, even with even more resolve to do stupid shit.
Yeah. She's... So after this, she meets a man named Fred. And James has been looking at me because I've got my phone out. And the reason is because when I heard about Fred, this is what I heard in my head. because I was like, run, Fred. Just run.
Oh, gee. I had no idea where the fuck you were going with that. In all honesty, I was like, I was waiting. I was like, I know this song.
I read about Fred and I was like, run.
Right. Because I saw you on your phone and I was like, Alice, we know you can't do two things at once. Like, so I saw you were trying to talk and you couldn't because you're trying to go through your phone.
Yeah, I was trying. Anyway, that was more hilarious in my head.
No, it was very good. I just didn't get it because I'm slow.
Yeah. So we won't go into details too much about Fred, but their relationship was relatively short and he knew it wasn't forever. Just a bit of fun. A bit of fun.
Did she think it was forever?
No, I don't think either of them did. She was after him for his money.
Ah, righto.
Yeah, but Natasha likes money.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? So the way they met seemed pretty cute. He went with his brother to a coffee shop in town and he's like, oh, that server?
We like some jiggle back here.
He's like, that server's kind of cute.
Hey,
And his brother does the awkward brother thing where he's like, hey, my brother thinks you're kind of cute. Yeah, so he embarrasses him anyway. He ends up getting Natasha's number and they talk, only date for a year.
Okay.
Now, after they'd broken up, she asks for a lift to Armidale, which is like 45 minutes from Walker. He obliged, lovely guy. They spent the day shopping, and on the way home, Fred stopped at Hungry Jack's for a wee. Same's Fred. I got a small bladder too. I get it. Now, when he gets back, he can't find his credit card. Natasha swears black and blue he left it at one of the shops, and he's like, oh, fuck, can we just turn around?
Hmm.
She's like, no, I'm coming to Armidale tomorrow. I'll get it for you.
She got like, it,
bitch,
Fred.
Bitch, if you can't get to Armidale on your own today, how are you going to get to Armidale tomorrow?
Hmm.
Anyway.
Good point.
Obviously, she's got it.
She got it.
NAB calls the next day, which is, for anybody who's not Australian, the National Australian Bank.
Yeah.
His credit card's been maxed out. And they find Natasha on CCTV spending a total of $7,476 of his money.
Of course she did.
Now, he didn't initially go to police. He's like, I just want to have a chatty chat with her. Like, see what the fuck's up. And he goes to her house and she's like, I've got some documents to give you as well. And he's like, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you, so I want to meet you outside your house. Public people are around. Anyway, she walks up to him, and it's weird because she's got documents in one hand, a bottle of wine in the other.
Okay. We know her propensity for poison.
So she walks up to him and then goes, oh, these are the wrong documents, shoves the bottle of wine into his hand. As soon as he grabs it, she pulls it out of his hand and runs back into the house.
What, she's framing him for something.
Exactly.
Oh.
She then goes into the house, smashes the wine bottle and starts to cut herself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She then calls 000 and was like, oh, my God, he attacked me. Yeah. Crazy, right? Yeah, like crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So then she starts using this incident as blackmail.
Oh.
She's like, you let go of your charge, I won't tell police. I won't get you charged.
What?
Yeah. And she's sending him like full blown, threats of I will charge you and get you done for assault.
Blackmail, yeah. How is she doing this? How is she sending it?
She's writing letters which they track.
Which I was about to say, which he can keep. As evidence.
She also sends them by express post, which has even more tracking numbers.
Oh, my good. Okay. Well, I'm so glad that she is so stupid.
Yeah. So during her interview, she claims the whole thing was done because he was jealous and vindictive because she was in a new relationship. And that new relationship was with Matthew Dunbar.
Oh.
And as she's waiting sentencing, the way he puts it, and this, I'm talking about a fish here. So before I say this quote, I'm talking about a fish. You'll see why I say that. But Fred says, if I was a mullet, he was a marlin. Talking about Matthew Dunbar.
No.
Yeah, I know, right? I love Matthew Dunbar.
Oh, really? So he was obviously really well respected within his community. Like, Walker's a very small.
They knew he came from. Like, he had assets.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So how long are we in? Let's see if we can go. Oh, we can go make this an hour and a half episode.
I reckon.
But now we're going to talk about our victim, Matthew Dunbar.
Right.
Matthew Dunbar was described by everyone as genuine, generous, and gentle.
Hmm.
And generous was the first thing everyone said about him.
Right.
Like, one friend said he just happened to mention some scotch he really liked.
Yeah.
And Matthew bought him an entire case of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like he was really, he even edited the scripts for the local Walker Music Society, like breaking that sort of mold of the stoic, manly farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
He apparently did have issues communicating sometimes. And as I was reading all these accounts, my first thought was it sounds like he has autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, really?
And a lot of his friends said the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
But just sounds super lovely and as you said, generous.
So genuine.
Wow, yeah.
He loved his community. He was so involved in it. He remember his best mate Lance always talked about how he was so dedicated to the Walker Poultry Club despite never owning a chicken. Yeah, yeah.
What was it? Just like the community or something?
Yeah, like he just liked helping involved. Everybody.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And he treated the workers on his farm with such care and kindness that he would wash their towels and singlets in fabric softener so they were fluffy for the next day.
Oh, get absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
he's
it makes
so
me
lovely.
So like.
He was just a wonderful
but then
person.
And also,
yeah. Fuck you, Natasha Beth Darcy. Now, everyone in town knew that all Matthew wanted to do was find love and start a family.
Oh, jeez.
And this was such common knowledge that many believed that Natasha exploited this.
Yeah.
She offered him an instant family, 3 kids. Oh, she also promised him, you know, marriage, children of his own, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the relationship started in 2014 sometime.
Yeah.
First sort of interaction is October 2014.
Okay.
But very early in their relationship, she gets sentenced for the, like, the theft and all that.
Oh.
And because the theft of Fred's
boyfriend.
Stuff,
yeah, Fred.
But that's also because she did that, she was breaking the parole of, like, her good behavior of the parole from the destroy property by fire.
Oh, of
course. So she ended up getting 18 months.
Oh, and only 18 months,
yeah. But so that's a couple of months into their relationship. And while she's in there, he took care of her kids, including building a granny flat for her eldest in excess of $30,000.
Oh, my goodness. So he does have assets. He does obviously has money, but
he's got money.
He's more than willing to spend it on those he cares about.
Exactly. And his biggest asset is his property, Pandora.
Pandora.
So Pandora is a merino sheep farm about just outside of Walker. It's a 1,200-acre property that was given to him upon his father's death.
Okay.
He also got another property, Gidley, which was a smaller one, 500 acre, about 7 kilometres from town.
Okay.
And these were prime agricultural land.
Okay.
Very, very good for sheep farming.
Okay.
So he sold Gidley to a local dairy for $1 million.
Right.
Because he wanted to upgrade and improve Pandora.
Okay.
Because this was his, like, he loved this property. And its net, like, the net worth of the property was estimated about $3.5 million.
Oof.
Yeah. So it's a great property. Now, she serves her 18 months.
Yeah.
And when she's released, she is showered in gifts.
Wow.
Do you want to rip that piece of paper? There we go.
Showered in gifts.
Showered in gifts.
Because I guess it's like his way of showing love, right? Like, you know how we all have our love languages, whatever.
Yeah, and
he's
his gift giving.
Gift giving, right.
This included.
You know, I also love receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good chat. Mm.
So this included a brand new $30,000 horse float.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah. Whoa. Horse people, why do you need to spend $30,000 on a horse float?
Like, does it have air conditioning for the horse?
I think one of them had a kitchen.
But they gave a horse a kitchen.
You got to cook that hay. In my head, that sounded funny, but what it actually was.
It was going to be funny,
like,
but probably
make
just not.
I was like, oh, cook that hay.
Like, it was funny, but just probably not in the way that you thought it was. Who's the kitchen for? The obviously not the horse.
I imagine when you go to horse shows and stuff like that, you can make like a cup of tea and like you got somewhere to store your food and stuff.
She doesn't do any of that shit.
No, she doesn't.
But she's just a piece of shit. But obviously, like, she's obviously banging on about how she's an equestrian champion or whatever.
Yeah, like bleep,
he's bleep, probably bleep. Just like, oh, you know, like
yeah, I love
doing
you.
Something
I'll do
nice.
These things
yeah,
because I'm a nice fucking human.
Oh, you're the worst, Natasha. And of course, she would have accepted it and been like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks.
She's a heartless one, isn't she?
She is. And so, like I said, she knew how to manipulate him. He wanted to marry her. He wanted kids so badly that he completely overlooked the criminal history and all this stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Now, what's weird here, in their home, Natasha has professional photographs of her, Colin, and the kids up in the home.
Oof.
Now, you might say, okay, they're nice photos of the kids at that age.
No.
There are photographs of just her and Colin.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she hated Colin. She wanted to cheat on him. Well, she would always talk about cheating and then, like, try to burn him and hammer him and poison him.
Matthew's best mate Lance was forever confused about it. He said that Colin would just come to the Pandora property and behave like him and Natasha were a married couple.
Collinwood.
Yeah. And sometimes he just apparently sometimes he'd just walk into the house, intrude on their conversations, but not say a word and just sit there and listen like a creep.
Colin.
It's so weird.
Colin did this.
It's so weird.
Okay, so not all's right with Colin either.
Not all is right in the what is the expression? Not all is right in the state of something.
Not all's right in the state of Wisconsin. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's go with that.
I'm just like, yeah. Sounds like a backward. Oh, no, I apologize to everybody from Wisconsin. It's not what I meant.
We don't know who you are.
We don't know who you are. But
so, and like also, while Natasha was in jail, Colin asked Matthew for money to pay some of his rent and even asked Matthew to iron his shirt.
Colin asked Matthew to iron his shirt?
Yeah, while Natasha was in jail.
Did Matthew do it?
Yeah, because he's a nice guy. Once again, because Matthew is a nice person and so he loves Natasha.
My respect level for Colin is like a little bit like dropping so much, like obviously he's the victim in a lot of like in everything that happened to him previously, but like now he's just looking like he's taking the piss and also taking advantage of Matthew, yeah. Which is not fucking okay.
I agree.
Oh, Matthew, I like, oh, you fucking Marlon.
I love
you.
It. Like reading what everyone says about Matthew, I'm just like, fucking hate you.
Did Colin cop any criticism or blowback from this? I imagine he would have in a small town. I think
everyone was really surprised because he stood by Natasha the whole time, which was very confusing. Anyway, the relationship between Matthew and Natasha did start to fall apart. So about 6 months before he died, early 2017, before his death, I just said that, it started to reach its boiling point.
Okay.
Now, Matthew was having some mental health issues. He had been prescribed antidepressants.
Okay, yep.
Apparently, he grabbed a rifle from his shed and called Lance. Who's incredibly Lance? Distressed. His best friend.
His best friend, sorry, yep.
Incredibly distressed. Oh. You know, he was saying, I'm in a dire financial position. I've got creditors chasing me because Natasha's bled me dry. Oh. And he goes, I'm going to go shoot myself. I'm going to go shoot myself. And then hangs up. And Lance calls Natasha frantic. He's like, can you please go and check if he actually took a firearm? Go to the fucking shed, check. And she's like, yeah, no, he's gone with one, but don't worry about it. It's fine. And he's like, we should call police, right? We should call police. And she's like, nah. But Lance is like, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
Like, he's my best mate. I'm calling police. Fuck you. So he called police. They're on their way. And he just keeps ringing and ringing Matthew's phone, just like time after time. And you can imagine minutes would have felt like weeks to him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
So after what must have been an agonizing passing of time, Matthew.
I can't believe like she would have just sat there and be like, nah.
She literally was like,
Could you imagine it? What you were thinking?
And his best friend being like, he could be anywhere on that massive property.
Yeah, of course.
And like, I don't even know where to start.
Could you imagine? Like,
it's pitch black. I don't know what to do.
You would never forgive that person, even if all's well that ends well. You would still be like, you didn't give a shit. You didn't give a shit about my best mate.
Yeah.
And oh.
So Matthew finally answers.
Okay.
And you can imagine like the relief that would have washed over Lance. Matthew said he didn't want to kill himself, but he just couldn't. Yeah. So now after this, Natasha's telling anyone and everyone how depressed Matthew was. Now, it wasn't like she was saying it out of concern, like you would say for me. It was more like one person said it was like more like an anecdote.
Oh, really?
It was like, oh, hey, guys, I went for a coffee shop. Matthew's super depressed, though. Like it was the way people were saying it wasn't out of concern. It was more so.
Like it's
almost. You will see it's laying groundwork, essentially.
I was going to say, is it like a it's another anecdote in her story? Not
exactly.
Anything to do with Matthew necessarily.
And not even get, like Matthew obviously was depressed, but not actually out of concern for Matthew's mental health.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, monster. Lance knew the relationship was rocky at this point, but Matthew was about to tell him that night how bad it had gone.
Yeah.
Matthew basically said that Natasha and Colin were happily married.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Do you think they would hit?
100%. 100%. Matthew said he viewed Natasha as his partner, but deep down he knew that she wasn't. He knew that she was Colin's. But he still saw her as the love of his life. Yeah. And Lance was like, if Natasha didn't exist, Matthew would still be here. 100%. And one big thing he also mentioned that Lance mentions is despite the couple only being together for 3 years, half of which she's in jail for.
Yeah, 18 months.
He changed his will and left everything to her.
Oh.
And he did so when she was in jail.
Oh, so it wasn't her doing that?
No, but she was basically demanding him from jail that he changes the will.
Oh, no.
And left absolutely everything to her. Imagine if you were dating me for 3 months and I went to jail and I'm like, prob should put me in the will, mate.
Didn't you? No, that was four.
I don't have any assets.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just saying when you asked me to change my will.
Oh, yeah. No,
that took you 4 months. Oh, five. Oh.
Yeah. More information starts to emerge. And this comes from Matthew's neighbour, Di and Bill Heaslett. These people.
Matthew and Di?
Yeah. No, no, Di and Bill.
Di and Bill.
These people. Matthew considered them to be family. Every Sunday, him and Bill, before church, would sit down, have a cup of tea on his like deck and do Sudoku.
Oh, geez, how wholesome.
And Bill would say he'd look at the Sudoku for a second and then he'd fill it out with pen without mistakes.
Matthew would?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said he loved it. Di had a green folder filled with clippings about every piece of criminal activity Natasha had ever been involved in.
You're kidding.
Because she knew she was dangerous.
Oh, no.
She even called Matthew's uncle, a former police officer, to ask him, like, what can we do? What can we do here? She's obviously dangerous. He's fallen for a felon with a violent past.
Yeah.
And she's targeted him for his money. And we know that.
What was the...
The uncle's like, we can't prove anything. What can we do? Like, there's no proof that she's got a violent past. Yes, everyone knows about it, but we can't prove that she's going to do something to him at this point.
Oh, jeez, that's so tough.
And she said about Matthew's death, it was a shock but not a surprise.
Oh, that's so tragic.
Yeah. Now, Ross, his neighbour,
yeah,
who was likely the last person to speak to him, also described him fondly. He said around 7 p.m. on the 1st of August, so this is the night before he's found deceased.
Yes.
He'd spoken with Matthew because Matthew had been in hospital with a leg issue, had like an infection in his leg.
Right.
Just called for a yarn, see what's going on, what's happening with your leg. And Matthew said, I'm feeling real positive about my leg. I've been told it's improving. It's going to improve even further with physio. This is important.
Okay.
I'm not just randomly mentioning his leg.
This okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, Natasha's behaviour is also sus as fuck because she is Natasha. In the weeks before the murder, she's trying to purchase powerful RAM sedatives.
Well, okay. Probably right. Okay. They don't own rams, do they?
Yeah, it's a sheep farm.
Oh, it's a sheep farm?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I remember some merino sheep farm.
Cool, yes.
But the vet was like, you have no need for those, so no.
Oh, really? So even he saw through the bullshit?
No. And like apparently with that, everyone felt like something bad was coming.
You're kidding. But they were powerless to do anything. Because they would have known what happened however many years ago with Colin.
Yeah, and they're like, what do we go to police and say, she bought some RAM sedatives? Like, what are they going to do? The vet said, no, she never got them. It's not like she's got, like, anything illegal going down. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, but, like, what can you do?
Fuck.
And Colin, not Colin, sorry. Matthew just loves her. Matthew just loves her.
And I just saw two photos of Matthew, one in which he's got a horse over his shoulder and he's smiling. And then the second one, he's lying. Oh, no, there's another one. There's a third one. A second one where he's lying with two border collies.
Oh, no.
And then a third one where he's holding bloody puppy border collies.
Oh, fuck.
Ah, oh, we're a mess now. Oh, no. Oh, and then a fourth one where he's got his best border collie mate.
I like Natasha, you're a piece of poo.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I know
we'll
I got
post,
distracted.
We'll post all of those photos.
We will, but you know, the thing is, it would have been a small town, right?
Very small. 3,000
So they would have known what happened, what shit she pulled with Colin. And at that point, I'm sure word gets out, they would have known that she tried to poison him with the oysters, Kilpatrick, smacked him over the head, and then poisoned him again the next night and to drug him. As soon as now she's going out after sedatives, like, don't need to be fucking Einstein or Sherlock Holmes to realize, yeah, shit's going down. Like, is there nothing anybody could have done at that point?
I think everyone was saying, like, Matthew, like,
be careful.
Be careful, be careful. He's like, no, she's the love of my life. She's the love of my life. And at that point, you know, all you can do is
try
and talk sense into him. But like I said, he wanted a family, he wanted love. That's all he wanted.
He was too nice. And, like, that's not a criticism. That's just evil people out there that will take advantage of that.
And she chose him for that exact purpose. Yeah.
And do you know who I am bitterly disgusted with in this is Colin. I'm sorry.
Just that treatment. The more I read about this, I was like, Colin, what the actual fuck?
Yeah. And you know,
I don't understand it. I don't. I can't wrap my head around it.
No, neither. And part of me is like, at the start, oh, poor Colin. Oh, nice guy. Oh, okay, dragged in, like lost his wife or young, you know, and lost his chance, you know, perhaps or whatever. Mm. Got swept up, got swept away. But then now, like, I'm not saying anything that happened prior to this he deserved. He did not deserve any of that. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But now his behavior with the whole Matthew, when Matthew was involved, like,
unacceptable.
And it's just, it's downright disgraceful. And is there any hint that he's involved in this?
No. So there is that time where Colin is recovering after the fire with family.
Yes.
There was whisperings that Natasha was working as a sex worker.
Okay.
And during that time, she fell pregnant. Now, Colin, although this probably wouldn't have been possible, Colin believed he was the father of that child.
Of course he did, right.
And they think that may have been
did
one
she
of the
give
reasons
birth to
why.
It?
Yeah. And they believe perhaps that might have been one of the things that kept that tie to her.
Look, perhaps, and I'm not a father and, you know, any of that, but I'm sorry, there is still a line to be drawn. Whether your ex has, you know, you and your ex have a child together, if she's with another guy, you back the fuck off.
Yeah,
and
like
don't ask him to iron your shirts and borrow money and to walk in the house and sit in conversations. Yeah. Like,
100%.
Like, that is, and the thing is, it sounds like Matthew, look, if he ASD or not, he obviously had a very caring attitude, which they both took advantage of.
100%.
Fuck. Anyway, but.
So now we've learned a little bit about the nature of their relationship and what was happening leading up to it. Let's go back to the 1st of August, 2017.
The night before
Matthew was found. So we'll talk about the day, what happened. So Natasha and Matthew had an appointment with a specialist for his leg. She claims that amputation was thrown around.
Okay. But hang on. He'd already spoken to old mate who said, no, just a bit of physio.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So this would have been devastating for him. He loved the farm. He loved working the farm. We know this is a lie.
Right, yeah.
And this is confirmed later by his specialist.
Yeah, okay, good.
They dropped his quad bike for a repair and Matthew said he wanted to buy a gas bottle. And she assumed for welding.
You're right. Okay, so is that important, like a gas bottle?
That is very important.
For the quad bike? Hang on, what?
Okay, so the reason why a gas bottle is very important in this section is because we haven't spoken about how Matthew killed himself.
Right. Well, killed himself.
In inverted commas. We've got a lot of inverted commas going on there.
But the gas bottle doesn't have anything to do with the quad bike. He was like, I'm
going
to go.
No, we're just going through a series of events.
And then he wanted to go see about a gas bottle. Yeah.
So Matthew killed himself, inverted commas, by asphyxiation through helium.
Oh.
Yes. And I'll go. So basically what he did is he put a plastic bag over his head.
Okay.
Secured around his neck.
Okay.
Got a, the tubes that used to connect like the shower to the tap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put that one end inside the bag.
Right.
And then one end he attached to the helium tank.
Right, yes.
And then
turn
the helium on. Now, what helium does is it removes oxygen from the atmosphere around it.
Oh, does it? I didn't know.
So it's a very painless and quick death.
Oh, really?
So within 10 seconds, you will lose consciousness.
Oh, no way.
And within 60 seconds, you will become brain dead from hypoxia, essentially.
No way.
Yeah.
So it's very quick.
Very quick, because it essentially very quickly draws the oxygen out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a very painless, very quick way to die.
I think it's like small mercies, but how tragic is that?
It is the one kind of relief about the way he died, that we know he didn't suffer, which if Colin had died, he would have.
Yeah, that's true. Like being burnt in, I mean, yes, he would have been drugged, but being burnt in a home. So they went and they dropped his quaddy off and then they went to go buy a gas bottle.
So he was talking about buying a gas bottle. So that's why he was taking screenshots, because he's like, oh, which gas bottle do I want?
So they weren't actually going and buying it.
No, they weren't.
So he was just doing all this on his phone.
So according to Natasha, he wasn't actually doing it on his phone. He was doing it on hers because his was broken.
Right. So he was researching on her phone.
Yes.
What gas, what, why is this so complicated?
I don't know, because she makes it complicated because then we see on CCTV at the exact time those screenshots were taken.
Right.
She's on her phone.
Right. Okay. So okay, what the fuck? So was he wanting to look up gas bottles for welding? No.
No.
So that never happened. No. She said that he borrowed her phone. Why the fuck? Okay, let me finish this thought. Because he needed to do welding. His phone wasn't working, so he grabbed her phone,
yes,
looked up gas bottles, which gives her the alibi. Oh, no, it was for his
suicide.
But instead, she's caught on CCTV at the exact same times where she took the screenshots,
yes,
which she then later showed police, being, oh, no, this was him. I don't understand how a screenshot could prove who was on the phone, who took the screenshot, but anyway. Like, if I took a screenshot of my phone, I'm going to be like, see, Alice did it. I'd be like, screenshots don't work like that. It's not a selfie. You can't see who was taking it.
Exactly.
Right. So she was originally looking it up because she was planning to murder him with said gas bottles.
But, and not to mention, during that same time, on that same phone.
Yes.
What does Natasha love?
A good Google search.
A good Google search.
So, but my question is as well, how the fuck is she, and this is what I got. How the fuck is she always on CCTV? She got caught on CCTV the first time she bloody got done for the $6,000 withdrawal for stealing the woman's credit card. She got done for the $7,500 withdrawal of Fred's credit card. It was all on CCTV then. Now, all of a sudden, she's like literally stood in front of a CCTV. Like, I'm sorry, there's not that many CCTV cameras out there,
not
surely.
Not to mention she's got done for a billion Google searches she's done previously, but still insists.
And what does she Google search this time?
Suicide bag connect helium.
Oh, no.
Exit bag, which is the name for the bag that goes over the head.
Oh.
Inert gas, suicide kits.
Why am I saying no?
Party store suicide bags. I don't know why. Party I don't know why it's party store, but that was the search. Yeah. Man commits suicide by inhaling gas.
Okay.
Do it yourself exit bag instructions.
Oh, no.
No, no.
I mean, look, why am I saying no? Good, because she's an idiot and this is obviously what ended up convicting her, so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, yeah, like when you're in that, like if you are actually suicidal, sure, Google's a good bloody thing to find information for. But didn't she not learn from the, like, obviously not, but no. How do you not learn from the first time when they obviously would have confronted her on her signed agreed facts?
Yeah, exactly.
That they caught her on her that, like, do you think she just did like, oh, I'm going incognito. They can't track me. It's got little guy with the hat.
I deleted my browser history. Yeah.
That's probably exactly what she did, didn't she?
Oh, there's a Google search for it later.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, brilliant.
So they apparently, according to Natasha, they then head home, have some sausage sangers for dinner.
Oh.
Why does she keep ruining delicious
food? I know.
Yeah. Now, here she gets a bit blurry on what's happening. She basically stated they were talking about the financial predicament they were in.
Yes.
And that he perhaps needed to sell the farm.
No.
Yeah.
That's his, like, that's
it's his pride and joy.
Well, that's what his dad left him. And that is his pride and joy. That's his happy
place. He loves that farm.
Oh, now, you're an evil woman.
Apparently after their chat, which she said was a bit of a D&M, he asked her to sleep in another room as she'd apparently kicked his bag leg in the night. And
his bad leg. Yeah.
So, like, convenient.
Oh, really? Oh, of course. I keep thinking, like, oh, yeah, fact. No, not fact. This is Natasha Nutella. I wish. This is Natasha telling the story. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I swear I'm sober. This is Natasha's telling the story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she just ruined Nutella.
No, she's ruining bloody everything. Hell. So this bit was weird, right? So she said they both went to sleep and she awoke at some point in the evening to put more wood in their open fire.
Okay.
And the fire alarm went off during this time for some reason. And so she figured she needed to go and tell Matthew about it.
Well, because the smoke alarm went off.
Yeah, and she put wood in the fire. Okay. So she's like, I need to go tell Matthew.
Matthew must know about everything I do.
Everything. I can't tell him in the morning. No. So she went to his room, apparently only in darkness, lit by moonlight.
With a hammer?
No. So no light on, and shook him to try and wake him. She's like, Matthew. He didn't wake. So she turned the light on. And that's when she found him with the plastic bag around his head, secured, all that, as we've spoken about
She's
before.
She's 100% wrapped it around his head in the night, hasn't she? The Sangers. She's drugged him. Oh, no. She's drugged him with the Sangers, and then as he's been passed out. The only thing I can say there is at least he didn't have those brief 10 seconds of, like, where he would have known. Mm. Like, he would have, you would have thought, stayed out of it, stayed unconscious.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, fuck it. Oh, I hate this one. By the way, I'm opening a Jack Daniel's single cask because it is our anniversary and I need a pick-me-up.
You do. Oh, cool. Boop.
That was a good one.
So she begins compressions, calls 000.
Would you like a glass, my love?
Yes, please. Mm. Just a small one. Mm. Now, despite Colin's love of Natasha, he still understands the gravity of what's just gone down when he attends. And so do local police because they know who Natasha is.
Yeah, exactly. She's well known. Mm.
So police search the property, which is when she starts to show the first hint of distress. And it's not distress over Matthew's death.
No, it's... Are the walls closing in?
Yeah,
the walls are closing in. Shit, yeah. What have I done? Am I going to get caught?
Yeah. So they first speak to her at Pandora at the property, and she provides what appears to be a well-rehearsed monologue of his history of suicide.
Oh, I hate her.
She mentions the incident with a firearm, and apparently he had previously attempted to overdose on drugs, but there's no hospital records or ambulance records or anything like that, so take that as you will.
Mm.
She also implies the issue with his leg is far more serious and he could never work on the farm, which contributed to his depression. And we know right now, bunch of porcupines. She also drops into the interview randomly, oh, Matthew's gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This man who loved you, who financially crippled himself, who did everything for you and your children because of his love for you was... gay.
Yeah. So they never had sex, apparently. He struggled with his sexuality. That contributed to his depression.
She is a heartless... this woman. Oof.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, I know at the beginning, at the top of the episode, you talked about a comparison between Catherine Knight.
Mm.
Catherine Knight, I feel, was a monster, as in she knew what she was, I think, and I think a lot of people kind of knew it as well.
Mm.
It's like...
I know what you're trying to say. I know what you're trying to say.
You know, she was what she was, and but with Natasha, I find more repulsive.
Oh, good word.
Because she's trying to worm her way out of this.
Yeah, I agree.
And I find that just disgusting. Yeah. And to take, you know, not Catherine Knight obviously was a hideous human being who, you know, that did not deserve any of that. But neither did Matthew. And then now she's trying to sully his name.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, she also brings up that another friend of his, Craig Hoy, had recently taken his own life. Now, Craig was also gay and he had struggled with his sexuality. So she's now trying to link the two. Yeah. Oh, there's one. There's one. I was going to talk about it later, but I'm going to talk about it now because it's so infuriating. She said that Colin and Craig, I'm getting all my names mixed up now, that Craig and Matthew had talked about suicide previously. And that apparently when Craig did kill himself, Matthew felt almost pride because he's like, good on him, he's done it. He's not in pain anymore.
But I'm conflicted with that. But even if he had... what the fuck has it got to do with anything? Like, even if Matthew just went, like, because I'm not one of these people. Obviously, you know, you may or may not know. I have a very intimate relationship with suicide and everything. So I don't certainly look at it from a point of view of like, oh my god, it's so selfish. Like, I understand that perspective. I do. I don't think it's selfish. But then if somebody does commit suicide, I can actually understand that. Fuck. At least they're not in pain anymore. Like, I can understand that. What the fuck does this have anything to do with what Natasha, you know, with what's going on here with Matthew?
But also, don't take Craig's trauma and the trauma of his family to justify murder.
I'm not going to say triggering because it's not triggering. It's just, it's hitting a nerve.
Yeah, it's just the abuse of mental health in this case.
Yes, that's exactly it. Great way to put it.
Is atrocious. She's atrocious. So after they have a casual chat at Pandora, police said, we're going to need your phone. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll give you my phones, but like, I don't really keep messages. I'm pretty bad at keeping my messages. I don't even know if I have any messages from Matthew. And she deleted all of her text messages. Like, it's like 2017. Everyone's still got text messages on their phone. It's not like our Nokia 5110 where you can
have a certain amount.
Now, police go and visit Natasha a second time. And, of course, she's staying with Colin. And they ask for her phone because they want to download everything on her phone.
Yeah.
And they don't have a warrant at this point. And okay. She's like, you can have my messages and call logs, but not my browser history. Because it's been misconstrued by police before with Colin.
Oh, you're kidding me. So she's now trying to play like the whole, oh, it's the police.
Police. You misconstrued my many, many Google searches about Alprazolam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The ones, the medazolam that ended up in the cat food.
Yeah. Yeah. So as they leave, so they're like, yeah, okay, fair play. We'll leave. She keeps her Google adventures going and Googles, what can police get iPhone? Can police access deleted history, which was misspelled. It was like history. And
her story.
Yeah. And later she would say that that was because she didn't want them to see Matthew's gay porn searches.
Oh, this woman. Oh, I'm so happy she's dumb and she's done.
Trash people.
Trash human being.
So a few hours later, different police officers attend the house because they've got Colin's phone. They took Colin's phone. Okay. They've returned it, all good. They once again ask Natasha, can we have your browser history?
Yeah.
She says, no.
Yep, right.
They leave. Mm. She Googles.
Right, yeah.
Can police access deleted browser? Police want copy iPhone content, cell phone data extraction. How long does forensics take? How long does it take to examine crime scene?
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot going on there.
Wow. Yeah. She does actually give the phone over.
Okay.
Yep. But says, no browser history. Nope.
Can she specify, though? If
they don't have a warrant, yes.
But I'm sure it won't be that difficult to get a warrant given her history.
Yeah. They may not have had enough. They may have been trying to go the easy route otherwise than getting a warrant. Okay, but
fair. Yeah.
It also comes out that she had Googled a lot about Craig Hoy, the friend who took his life.
Oh, okay.
Now, an interesting aside here is that not long after Craig died, Natasha had left for a trip, despite claiming how incredibly distressed Matthew was and how worried she was about him. She just left him.
Of course.
She then returns and we see what is her establishing a bunch of Google searches that sets the claim that Matthew's death was related to Craig's.
What do you mean by this?
So she starts Googling how many tablets suicide, searches relating to Valium, sedative pills, cyanide, and clonidine overdoses.
But how does that have anything to do with Matthew?
Well, she's trying to say they're linked. Apparently, the day before, she starts looking into suicide, even though she tried to link Craig and Matthew's murder by saying, oh, he must have got the idea from Craig.
Okay.
He must have got the idea, but she'd already been Googling suicide.
Oh, okay.
Beforehand. Oh,
so she, okay, sorry. Yes, now I get you. I'm on the same page. A bit slow. So she was, do you reckon her, hang on, you were talking about Valium.
Yes.
So she obviously gave him Valium or sedative. She was seeing how much like it would take to overdose.
Yeah. And then she's also like concurrently doing searches about suicide, which completely gets rid of her thing that Matthew had committed suicide because he got the idea from Craig.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So do you think her original idea before the helium was to overdose him, to go a similar route to Colin? Or do you think this was like, oh, like, because it sounds like she was, did you mention cyanide in that? Like, how the fuck do you get cyanide?
I don't even know how you would get cyanide these days.
Like,
I don't even know what clonidine, I think I did research clonidine.
I don't know.
I think it's a blood pressure medication.
Right. So maybe she's probably going to find them, like similar to Colin, find them in normal prescription.
Different ways. But just ways that are legal,
and way over in the dose. Mm. Oh, okay. So now there's definitive proof.
Yeah.
That she was looking at suicide before Craig Hoy's
death.
And that it's, okay.
Good. So then, once again, in this interview with police, she jumps into that pre-rehearsed monologue of everything that happened.
How sad.
They start asking about the relationship and she just trashes Matthew.
Okay.
He's oversensitive, cried at the drop of a hat, had two-year-old tantrums.
Right.
But then also saying he was sweet, but then saying there was no sex life because he was sexually attracted to men and he was a drama queen in the context of his mental health and all this kind of stuff.
So she really is using his mental health.
Oh, yeah.
To trash not only him but his character, everything, you know, yeah, just him as a person to espouse her innocence.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now police get to the bit at the end where they're like, we're going to throw some facts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, you know he's the beneficiary to your will, right? And she's like, oh, what? No idea. Shook. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Shook. Yeah, but like, right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And then...
But at this point, he doesn't... Well, he has Pandora, which is worth $3.5 million, which he can sell, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's still a lot of money at stake here.
And plus there's still a lot of money
at stake. And then there's other properties, but Pandora was the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, can we talk about the doctor that you said was going to have to amputate his leg?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, no, he did say Matthew was improving. My bad. But then... Police called the company where Matthew had apparently purchased the gas cylinder. But the employee who took the phone call was adamant a woman made the order.
Of course.
She's like, nah. The detective's like, oh, but the woman who called specifically asked for the exact dimensions and size of the cylinder that Matthew had attached to the plastic bag. She's like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Then detectives told her the employee also heard that the woman told her that a man by the name of Matthew Dunbar would pick up the cylinder. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Then.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a Google search for the morning of the 2nd when he was found deceased at 12:48 a.m. on his phone.
I was about to say, because they couldn't go through hers.
Yep. For does helium show up in an autopsy?
What?
Firstly, why the fuck would Matthew care if he had taken his own life? Like, he's like, it's obvious that that's what was my cause of death. Why would I care? Secondly, what? It's obvious that helium's the cause of death because it's attached to him.
Yes, but why the... What? Hang on. So she used his phone as well.
She's trying to set it up.
Oh, she's so stupid. But
now, just another aside here.
Yeah,
love. When they're talking about the Google searches,
yes,
there was over 80 different Google searches on how to kill a person, suicide methods, and deletion of computer evidence that they found
on her phone.
Yep.
So once
computers, like her, yeah, electronic
her IoT. Well, I mean, like if it's Google, it's like whatever I Google on my phone, well, that same history will show up on my computer.
Oh, yeah, never noticed that.
Yeah. And I'm pretty certain because it's my Google account. I could be wrong. But, yeah, so.
Over 80. I was reading this book and it was like.
And then unbelievable.
Like, and like there was a few that was like.
A few of the detectives, you'd be like, jackpot.
Yeah. And there were a few ones which were like, it was in relation to the Matthew Dunbar case. But they were like spinal cord, like. Soft point spinal cord, soft point back of head, right. Which were like, they were like, that very closely sort of resembles what happened with Colin Crossman.
Oh, right.
Like the conversation, but she's like, where would you hit the head?
So do you reckon like one of her initial ideas might have been to like-
Do the same thing.
Same thing, but in the spine or something or other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But police are like, mate, you're a motherfucking murderer.
Yeah.
So on the 18th of November, 2017, she's arrested.
Good.
And taken to Tamworth Police Station. And toxicology's actually been returned at this point because they did take toxicology in the autopsy.
From Matthew.
An interesting fact here. Which
from the Sangers.
No, well, yeah. Matthew had vomited during the incident. So during the asphyxiation.
Oh, so he was conscious.
Not common. It's not common for example, helium inhalation. I've been to a few gas inhalation jobs.
Right.
And normally it's just the oxygen is removed.
Yeah.
So there's no vomiting.
So you get lightheaded. I imagine like if you hold
your
breath.
It's like you inhale helium. Remember as a kid? You'd inhale helium from the helium balloons. Then you speak like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know that. But like I never got to the point where I wanted to pass out.
But you felt like a bit of lightheaded. And,
Gotcha.
So
that's
basically what it does because it's removing oxygen. You don't feel physically sick. What you do feel physically sick from is overdoses on medication.
Sangers.
Yeah. So what kind of medication do you reckon they might have found that she was trying to purchase earlier?
Bedazolam.
ram sedatives.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah. That was going to be my second option.
Yeah. So she faffs around and tries to pretend. I've got no idea where those sedatives came from. That's ridiculous.
Of course, of course, of course.
Finally, she does admit she got them from a vet in Armidale.
Oh, that's a bit of a trek away.
Mm. But apparently her horse accidentally stepped on it. So it broke and she didn't have any.
What?
Yeah. So like she, like a horse just accidentally stepped on this vial of ram sedatives and then obviously it went everywhere, so it couldn't be used.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why it was crushed. That's why ram sedatives that ended up, I'm sure, in his sangets.
Yeah, like it just, it was on the floor, but somehow it got into his food.
It was just, it made like definitely just like a horse trampled on it, not her putting it in a mortar and pestle and grinding it down and then sprinkling it like fucking Salt Bay into his sausage. You are
legitimately so close, she didn't need a Nutribullet.
All right, okay, I was about to say. You know, and then, like, fucking she stood there like Salt Bay being like, meh, down into his sausage sanger. Yeah.
So in her Nutribullet, she'd basically made a concoction of, like, anti-anxiety meds, ram sedatives, another medication that was prescribed to her son.
Bedazolam?
No, it wasn't a bedazolam. It was... No, I didn't write down.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, they were blended in the Nutribullet and obviously just put on his steak sanger.
This is why I don't accept any foods given to you from the Nutribullet. Just because you never know.
Never know. Could be a ram sedative.
Carrot top.
Yeah. What?
You got orange hair at the moment.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, your hairdresser did.
Oof. Joseph, he's joking. He's being
I'm kidding.
A dick.
I'm kidding.
So we actually have our first COVID-impacted trial now.
Oh.
Yeah.
No way.
So, yeah, we have our first COVID-impact trial. So her...
Sorry, I'm just thinking. That was a joke. Like... I was like, oh, Joseph, don't hate me now. I do like it. I was just wanting to throw shots at you for the sake of it. I was, you know, can't let an just opportunity being sassy. Like that. Just being sassy. Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Go do what you gotta do.
You know, he's just an innocent bystander in casualty of war.
Yeah.
Anyway, first COVID impacted thing. First,
yeah. And so it was postponed quite significantly. Yeah. She was
COVID-19, 2019.
It was pretty much bang on the first outbreak of the pandemic.
So what, like March, April 2020?
Yeah.
Yep.
So during this time, obviously, because there can't be juries, there can't be people in there, the lawyers are basically arguing what they can and cannot admit. So they're doing it over Zoom.
Okay.
Specifically, tendency evidence. Now, we have spoken about that in the Kumanjai Walker case.
Yep.
So it's basically evidence that a person has a tendency to act in a particular way.
Just very like in Kumanjai Walker, the cop had a tendency to, you know, abuse and... basically act like a cowboy with Indigenous people to the point where he said, oh, yeah, you know, he's going to do it one day so we can get the paid leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exactly what happened. Then anyway, all of that evidence was left out of his trial because it painted him in a poor picture.
Exactly.
Poor little diddums. Mm. But so this is what they're debating now.
Yeah, and it is very hard evidence to get in. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
Because you normally can't talk about criminal past and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And which makes no sense because, like, her history, I'm sure it makes sense from a legal standpoint, but as a layman, it makes no sense because if you've got a history of that, surely you could talk about that, right? Like, surely she could talk about the Colin Crossman.
Yeah. So, like, luckily... the judge does hand down that tendency evidence will be allowed, but
ordinarily it wouldn't have been. Is that what you mean?
Well, look, for example, the only thing that wasn't allowed was the Oysters Kilpatrick incident, because it couldn't be 100% confirmed that was fair.
That's
but
fair.
Yes, they did allow that.
Yeah, right.
Now there is, while she's in jail awaiting sentencing.
Yeah.
Well, waiting trial. Sorry, that's not the correct waiting trial. She writes a letter to a friend.
Oh.
I'm going to read it to you.
Oh.
Let me find it.
Hold Wax on. Lyrical.
Can you please dun, just start? Dun, 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 why can't I work dun, out how to use a mouse?
Shut up. This is my song. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, now I don't even know where I was up to. I'm going to have to start again. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, you...
This is just,
you are just the worst. I can't even get a song out here. Jeez, you're going to be lucky to get another 2 days out of this relationship the way you're going, let alone 2 years. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, it sounds dun, like, dun, 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 dun. George of the Jungle, George, I need page 2. 85
you are up to page 213.
Episode 285. Guys, I should have had this ready, but I did most of my notes on my laptop.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, here's 282. 3, 4, I was
trying to think of a Hamilton song.
Okay, here we go. Okay, this is in the middle of the letter.
Right, in the middle of the letter. So hang on.
Now, I'm going to read quite a bit of it because it's important.
84 years. What is this letter? 84
years. So this is a letter she's written to a longtime friend.
Right, whilst she's waiting trial.
Yeah, so she's sitting in jail pondering.
Yep.
So, Mandy, I'm going to make you a proposition and see if you can be the one to help me. Please don't judge me. There is no pressure here. Your friendship is the most important thing to me. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark.
No, no, no. Your friendship is the most important thing to me.
Once I am found not guilty, which would be pretty much assured if you help me, then I automatically get the inheritance Matt wanted the children and I to have. I would be willing to give you $20,000, which I'm sure would help buy out your parents' family, which I think they have like a property or something, or a business, something like that.
Righto.
If you agree to do this, I was thinking the following details would be sufficient. 1, I knew you had once attempted suicide and we talked over Facebook iMessages about my fears for Matthew and his talking about suicide. 2, you offered to talk to him for me as you could tell him you understood his anguish. 3, you phoned the house home phone when I knew Matt would be there alone so the house was quiet. I told him you wanted to talk to him so he was prepared for the call. 3, you talked to him for around 40 minutes and he told you he'd been planning suicide, he wanted to die at home, he'd already had 2 attempts and didn't want to fail again, he'd been looking up different suicide methods, he loved the kids and I, but he was convinced we'd be better off without you. Or without him. All true comments, by the way, just not said to you from him. You suggest to Matthew you get a good counsellor, that you knew exactly how he felt, to give the antidepressants a chance. If the lawyer asks for your phone records, just say it was over 2.5 years ago and you don't keep them. I would mean that you would have to talk to the lawyers about your suicide attempt, and I'm sorry about that. It must be hard for you to talk about. And then gives all the details about her lawyer and how to contact the lawyer.
Goodness. So does this friend just go straight to the police?
This friend's like, no, I don't know.
Goes to the police, right?
Because all correspondence in jail is looked at. Like it's
all letters and
stuff is looked at. So the police knew about it.
Oh my god!
The friend was like, oh, I didn't do shit about it. Like I was like,
thank you. Oh my wow! Oh,
oofty laddie.
But I mean, speechless.
Speechless. Anyway, 3 years and 10 months after Matthew Dunbar's murder, it finally goes to trial.
Yeah.
And
It is a while, isn't it? So has she been in jail all this time?
Yes, she has. Yes, she has. And requiring only 1 hour of deliberation by the jury, Natasha.
1 hour? Yes.
Natasha's found guilty.
Oh, good.
She was sentenced to 40 years with a minimum term of 30.
Wow.
So by the time she gets out, like, she's going to be late 70s, early 80s. Like, she's fucked.
Yeah, but that's at the earliest, right?
So 30 at the earliest, 40 at the most.
So, yeah, no, I understand how that works. Oh, right, I understand how minimum and maximum work, but thanks. Appreciate
it. I'm pretty sure I do this every podcast too.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, how old is she now when she was sentenced? Roughly?
40-ish.
40-ish. So she could be, like, 80. Yeah, right over.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Well, at least she got done.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you know what? Some of the times you and I hear, and particularly with the we'll never forget her name, and here I am forgetting her name, the men. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Bloody, we won't forget her name, and I'm sitting here.
I like literally said it the other day to somebody. I'm not sure why.
Anyway, the Robin Reed and his accomplice.
I want to say there was a Louise in there.
Yeah, there was, I believe. Anyway, we often will complain about, oh, the sentence. Oh, why is it so short? That's, I think, a decent sentence. Like,
I agree.
She can get out at 80, you know, and yes, she could still enjoy her life, but there's a lot, you know, 40 years, that's a lot. That's a lot to be missing.
It's 40, and like, once again, 40 years is a very, very long time when you are a regular person who thought they were going to get away with all of this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And now you are not going to get away with it.
Yeah. I would, Nicole Louise Pierce. That's one. Don't forget her name either. If you run into a Nicole Louise Pierce, don't do anything. Don't say anything. Just don't have anything to do with that person.
Hmm.
And if you just happen to have the same name as that Nicole Louise Pierce, then
we apologize.
We apologize.
You could be a nice person.
You could be.
Anyway.
Chances are you are. But
let's remember Matthew Dunbar by his photos with his horse.
Yeah. And I think that's the saddest thing, isn't it? Like somebody who was obviously so caring, so loving, so what you want and what we need more in the world. Like we need more of him in the world.
Lovely.
But instead we get stuck with the Natasha Beth Darcy's and yeah, I mean, it's such a shame and, you know, but at least his memory and his legacy and
that's what I want. I hope I did him justice.
Yeah, you did. You talked like sang his praises, but yeah. Not in a, you know, I felt like in a very authentic way. Like yeah. we don't know him, but we know his character. I think like
and
I really
character
get that.
From like friends and family. Yeah, loved him.
Like that quote: "If I'm a mullet, he's a marlin." And it's like, oh,
yeah, he was a great catch and better than Natasha deserved.
Yeah,
she deserved far. like a puffer fish that would sting her or something, or like a.
Sea cucumber.
What's a shit fish?
Sea
cucumber. Are they fish? What is a sea cucumber?
She's a pebble of sand.
A pebble of sand.
Yeah. She's a pebble of sand in the deep, dark ocean.
Yeah. That's
all she is. Yeah. But do we know what happened with his property by any chance? Like, do we know where?
It's still, so I did actually read that because they're still working out where the property goes and it's still unresolved. So the book I read, by the way, guys, great book. I will link it. It's what called it? The Widow of Walker by Emma Partridge. She was actually a journalist that covered this whole thing.
Wow.
And yeah, like as of now,
yep.
That estate is still unresolved.
No way. So what happens? Because he obviously doesn't have a next of kin. Seems like he doesn't have any family, brothers or sisters or anything like that.
He has
obviously
a mum he was estranged from. So, right. Yeah, I don't know who it would go to.
Mm.
I don't know who it would go
so
to.
So sad, though. So sad. But, yeah, oh, well, that's interesting. Maybe keep an eye on it because this was a fairly recent case. She was only sentenced, like, last year, the year before?
Yeah, very recently.
Three years and 8 months. So that's 2020.
So it was sort of
potentially
like,
the beginning of last year, wasn't it?
Like sort of after the first COVID outbreak when everyone was allowed to go back to court, basically.
Yeah, but I think it was 3 years and 8 months. It was August, September, October, November, December. So we're looking at April, 3 years after that. 2021. It's the beginning of last year, about a year ago.
Because the book only came out in May, and I'm assuming it could not be released until everything was done.
And she would have had to, So I'm thinking maybe like, what is it, 2022, mid last year that she was sentenced.
Hmm.
So it's a fairly recent case. So it's, if you want to follow along, to keep your ears out of The Widow of Walker and, you know, anything that happens.
Hmm. And if you do want more details, I do recommend reading the book. It was a great read.
Mm.
There's a lot of information there, and there's a lot of... You just see the absolute fuckery she's got up to her entire life. Like
you're talking about Natasha, not Emma.
No, Natasha.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the author has got up to a lot of fuckery. Who knows?
Live your best life.
Yeah.
Not if it's Natasha.
Yeah.
But, it's a great book and written from her perspective. She actually went into the town and spoke to a lot of people. It's very cool.
I know this is a longer episode. We're, like, approaching a minute, an hour and 40. Probably going to be a couple of minutes after that. But, like, originally when you read this, you were like, it's got to be a three-parter.
I made the Colin Crossman episode a little, the part a little bit too many details with details that weren't.
And I'm glad you didn't because I didn't want to get, like, I felt like I already got invested quite a lot with him. And I felt like I already, like, if I'd got any more invested, like, the feeling of almost betrayal that I got from his story.
I'm pretty sure he still sees her in
jail. Of course he does. Like, I don't know. Just something about that rubs the wrong way. So, just on that, he was cleared. Like, there was nothing.
He definitely wasn't involved.
She didn't tell him. She didn't.
There's certainly no mention of it. See, I don't think
if they're
he was.
A married couple, like Matthew says, and he's constantly there. Look, I don't know. He seems like a stand-up guy. You know, I'm sure he had nothing to do with it. I'm sure he had nothing to do with it. Question was raised nonetheless in my mind.
You know, it's there.
Just because, it's really odd behavior and really disrespectful behavior.
It's a predicament and I also can't wrap my head around it.
No, neither. Maybe there's something we're missing, perhaps. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, but I don't know. Thank you very much for that episode. Why are you...
De nada.
You got your finger. It's like you give me the finger the way you...
Fuck you.
Yeah. But no, thank you. Great story.
Thank you.
Look forward. What's the next episode going to be about?
I actually don't know yet.
Ah, well, fucking get to it. Jeez. We'll see you guys in about another 4 months.
Yeah, for season three.
No. We will be back next week. What do we got? What do we got planned this week? You know what? You're going to be researching. You know it.
Yeah, what else, what else have I got on this week?
We're going to go make cheese on Friday night.
I'm going to make cheese on Friday.
That was a belated, no, not a belated, that was a Christmas present.
Mm.
And then Saturday, we're going to go watch the footy.
The footy.
At Henson Park, mine in Blue Bags, Newtown Jets.
There's a lot of alliteration happening in this episode.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Get it, Alice.
Look at you go. But yeah, no.
Very exciting times ahead. Lovely to have your company. We enjoyed it.
Yes. And if you have any ideas for podcast episode ideas, please let us know. We're very keen. But otherwise, keep it. No, that's the wrong. That's not us. Again. That's not
We've been listening so much more, but we're like, what's ours?
What is ours?
Go whoop whoop, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Whoop whoop, motherfluffers.